Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to.
Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. It's Emily here.
And Christy.
And Miriam.
Yay, Miriam's back to
I'm
dish.
I'm so happy.
I know, we're like ecstatic. Oh my God, good to be here, good to have you. So this week's episode, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or are friends with either Christy or I on Instagram or Facebook, know that this week is about dating with diabetes, and it's something that we've definitely been kind of wanting to talk about, especially because all of us are in newer places in our lives. I started seeing someone almost like in between 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, Emily and I started dating people at exactly the same time.
It was amazing, and which is great in a pancreas
pal world. It was super helpful, actually.
Yeah, because of things that we will talk about later on, but or maybe not, who knows, but it was, Christy and I are the same person, basically, and we started dating people around the same time, and Miriam actually just moved in with her boo thang, is that right?
Yeah, literally yesterday, as of this recording. He's old news, but the move is new. That's a new life moment.
He's great, though. He's so sweet. He's a doctor, as my grandma would say.
Yes.
You live with a doctor? That's so convenient.
I know, and yeah. I think there's a lot of weird psychological stuff going on there, which is why I decided to date a doctor, but I guess we can touch on that as this podcast goes on.
I bet your A1C is going to be amazing from here on out.
I would be so annoying if I was dating a doctor and or I just was close enough with the doctor that I had their number to text them, because I'm a highly functioning hypochondriac and I would text Reese them in the me. Middle of the night like, hey, this is what's happening.
Oh,
am I gonna lose my foot?
Yeah, he has to like talk me off of a ledge multiple times when I convince myself I have like some weird medical issue. But
God,
at the same time,
texted you.
I have to tell him I can't eat pasta every single night, so he's technically a doctor, but still a lot of learning to go.
Well, it's good he sees you, not your diabetes, you know.
There you go. That's true.
I love pasta. Anyway,
we digress.
As per usual. And Christy, why don't you tell us a little bit about your guy?
This is weird.
I don't know how to prompt you. I'm sorry.
Mostly that's fine. I guess originally I was going to be completely silent during this recording talking about this because I was like, this could get very awkward. I know that Zach is an avid listener. He is self-described Pancreas Pal's number one fan.
Aww.
That's so sweet.
He listened to the entire first like 8 or 9 episodes in like a day and a half.
What a nugget.
And then I went back with such horror and I listened to like our first 3 episodes. If you remember, we talk about like what happens when we get our periods and I was like, oh my God, what have I done? But yeah, I guess we didn't really talk about, I'm so sorry. We didn't really talk about me being diabetic until like literally our fourth or fifth date, because the first couple of times we went out, we were only out for like an hour, maybe two at like a bar or something like that. So it wasn't really relevant because I wasn't eating. I didn't really need, like I could go test in the bathroom if I needed to, but it wasn't something that was like necessary to bring up yet. Plus when you're first just getting to know someone, I don't know. I just didn't want to bring it up right away. I think probably the first time we had like pizza at my apartment with my roommates, I think I pulled a classic, like, well, my pancreas doesn't work joke with my roommates, as I always do when I want something from them. And he was like, wait, really? And I was like, oh, yeah, did I not mention? And then I do my classic, like, flipping over of my medical ID because I wear it loose enough that, like, you can flip it and then see what it says on the other side.
True.
And then it was a couple weeks later that he found out I had a podcast and then recently started listening. And I don't know, he was really, like, great about it, is all I can say. It could have gone very awkwardly, like, listen to me talking about it. I just sound so awkward, I couldn't even take your prompt about it.
Oh my God,
but,
no.
You know, Zach deserves a shout-out, because he handled it exactly the way that he should without knowing that that's what he was doing.
He's a nice guy, he's a good guy.
It probably helps that he listened to the podcast, so he, like, asks questions now, but appropriately and without pressure. So, like, he's seen me have a low blood sugar, just kind of, like, rub my back while I dealt with my apple juice situation.
Ugh, clutch. So, yeah, I mean, we've had very different experiences, I think, with our approach to how we disclose diabetes. And I think, you know, just like people and relationships are different, the way people resonate with their disease is different. And I know for me in this current relationship, I disclosed it so early. And the reason why I did that is because I don't really know what the hell I'm doing, to be quite honest. In case
none of us do. Don't worry.
In case anyone's listened to this podcast, it's like, it's trial and error, and I have tips and all this stuff. But I mean, like, as far as bringing another person into the equation, I don't really know. Like, I'm still trying to figure out my diabetes, and I don't want to put that on anyone else to need to figure it out as well. So I disclosed it at the beginning because I have actually been on dates. I don't want to say dated because I don't want anyone to think that I let these guys have more of my time than they deserved. Been on dates with guys that didn't handle
it
well.
Snap your fingers if you're going to say that, Emily.
Sorry, guys. Let me just say, though, I've had negative reactions. And when you receive a negative reaction about that, I bounce back. It's fine. It's not the end of the world, but it does affect how you disclose it in the future because you don't like feeling bad when someone has a negative reaction. You don't want to feel like a burden. You don't want to feel like you're extremely different, which these are all things that we've discussed in other episodes. But when it comes to someone that you like or you have a crush on or that you're finally, you know, like going on a date with, it's hard to have a kind of rejection like that immediately off the bat without being able to fully just, you know, like disclose, be like, yeah, this is a disease I have, but it's something I'm managing. It doesn't have to be on you. Like, it's not your disease.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I ended up waiting to talk about it as long as I did, is that I waited not even intentionally. Like, it's hard to describe because when I'm at my apartment, which is usually where we'd be hanging out with my roommates, like if we were eating or whatever, I typically come into my room to test my blood sugar and do my shots. I do that when it's just me and my friends, who obviously know all about like the fact that I've had this disease. Like, they haven't ever known me without it, my friends at school, but that's just how I have always done it, so I don't have to go into my room, get what I need, bring it out to the living room, then bring it back. So I don't know, I wasn't ever intentionally hiding it, but I guess I did wait until I was completely comfortable to have longer conversations about it or like answer questions about it. But by the time that Zach was like listening to the podcast and asking questions about it, he'd already known me for, I guess, the better part of a month and kind of knew I knew how to take care of myself.
Right.
So I didn't have to qualify, like, yes, I have to do XYZ, but it's okay. I manage it okay. Like, because that was kind of clear by that point.
Yeah. But I think it's also, this is interesting in bringing up how relationships change over time. Because, of course, early on, you don't want to put any extra pressure on the relationship. So, obviously, like, of course, you take care of ourselves. We've all been taking care of ourselves for so many years. But as the relationship develops and, you know, as things get more serious or more long-term, it is important, I think, for your partner to take some ownership of the diabetes as well. And not in a way that, like, they're doing all the work for you, but in the same way that you almost need, like, an advocate at sometimes. Like, for example, last time my boyfriend and I were traveling, and I had a particularly difficult time in security. You know, obviously we're all used to the security line and whatever they do to look through all of your stuff. But this airport in particular was giving me a really tough time. And I just, like, it's so stupid. All they did was take my juice boxes. Obviously you could buy new juice boxes, but I wanted to burst into tears. I was so upset on, like, the principle of it, you know? And in moments like that, that's when it's important, like, yes, this is
I would have thrown a fit.
Yeah, like, yes, this is my thing. This is my problem, technically, not his. But I needed him. Like, I needed an advocate. I needed him to take some ownership. And even, not that he could do anything, really, but just to be pissed off with me. So I think, you know, as your relationship develops, and hopefully, you know, these are all good, positive relationships and progressing healthily, I think your partner will eventually, there will be some, like, shared burden. I hate using the word burden, but eventually the burden does get shared between you two.
Lessens the heaviness a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Lessens the heaviness. I like that phrase.
Thanks. It's like I write or something for my day job, flips hair. But I know that with Rich, I don't know if I said his name yet, but that's the mysterious boy I've been dating, Rich. He's not mysterious. Shout out to Rich. Thanks for being great. He's amazing. The thing is, I've had some serious lows when he's been around. When I say serious, I mean like verging on the 30s, like really bad, I think twice. And he just sits there and, you know, rubs my back and is like, I know you've got this. Like, if there's anything you need, you let me know, but I know you've got this. And sometimes that's all you really need to hear. Like, I didn't need it. You know, sorry, Rich, if you're listening, which low-key you better be, but I didn't need him to sit there. I didn't need anyone to sit there and rub my back and tell me it was going to be okay, you know, for the last 3 years that I've had this. But now that that's a possibility, it's great. Like, I know I'll be fine without it. You know, strong woman, hear us all roar. But it's a nice positive thing. Like, it's, you know, if I, God forbid, I pass out, it's nice to know someone sitting next to me knows how to administer my glucagon.
That was actually the first moment. I don't think I didn't say it, but that's the first moment that I realized in my head, like, wow, I really love him. It was like the middle of the night. I woke up. And I think it was like 50, but you know how sometimes you're 50 and like fine, and then sometimes you're 50 and like, oh my God, I'm dying. Yeah. It was one of those where, and I get like really tearful, and I cry when I'm low. It's just like the side effect, like tearful and sweaty, the whole thing. And I remember I said I'm low, and I like got out of bed, and he like runs to the kitchen because he had bought a whole thing of juice boxes, and he was came back and he was so proud of himself that like he had the juice, that he was doing this for me. And I remember crying and being like, oh my God. And I like wanted to say it so bad, but even in my head at that moment I was like, okay, I should probably do this when I'm like not low and hysterical. But it's huge. That's like, so you're sweet. Right, you don't need it. I would have survived. I would have gotten a juice by myself. But how nice is it to finally, you know, be able to kind of share that experience with someone and not feel so alone. So, no, it's a perfect example. You don't need it, but it's really nice to have it.
Right. Rich brought, like, a Costco-sized bag of Skittles and keeps them in his apartment. But he and his friends sometimes snack on them when I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, like, being like, yo, if I go low. Snacks, yeah. Yeah, but then I'm like, wait, but he bought it, so, like.
He can have it.
Yeah, yeah. Can't be too salty.
Anyway. Yes. do we want to pose some of our questions to Miriam?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
we're really excited that people actually wrote in to our Instagram account, slid into our sweet DMs there. High key made my day. I almost teared up, but that would be silly. Aww.
Okay, I was going to say I did tear up, but thanks for marginalizing my feelings there, Christy.
Sorry, I'm literally just here to invalidate everything you feel.
That's what a pancreas palate does.
That's what a pancreas palate does. Just invalidates when appropriate.
So our first question and / shout out comes from Elizabeth, who's in Boston. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks for listening. Legit made our days. So she has a question, which I know we kind of already touched on, but she wants to know, at what point do you say you have diabetes? She never knows. Mm-hmm. Retweet, same.
That's a good question. I think, I mean, and even like I was curious, but prior to this podcast, I Googled like dating with chronic illnesses, because I was curious what was out there. And everything you'll find kind of says the same thing, but really, it's up to you. I think I personally, I didn't want it to make it more dramatic than it naturally already is. So I usually bring it up early, just because it is a huge chunk of my identity, as much as I like hate to admit that, but it is. So it usually does come out pretty early on for me. Obviously depending on the date. I went on a lot of first dates, and a lot of them, you know, immediately aren't going anywhere, so it's almost not worth the trouble. Right. But for something you see going somewhere, I try to make it come up as naturally as possible. And I try to do it as early as felt comfortable for me. I think with my boyfriend in particular, it was sort of easy because I think I was doing, there was like a JDRF event coming up that I was helping to plan when I first started dating him. And he might have asked, like, oh, how did you get into that to that charity? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I have diabetes. So that was a very easy segue. That's how I remember happening.
That's how I brought mine up,
when
too.
When I ask him how he remembers me bringing it up, he's like, oh, I think we were, like, hooking up, and you, like, told me you had an insulin pump. I was like, what a horrible listener, because I definitely told you before then. But
that's hilarious.
Regardless, and I can't even, like, it's all kind of foggy, which I guess is a good sign, which means it wasn't, like, a dramatic telling. But I'm trying to think of other people I've dated. It usually, I would say, comes up in the first couple weeks of knowing them. But there isn't really a right time. That's the thing. It's really dependent on the relationship, on the person, on how you're feeling. And that's how you know it's right. You know it's right if it feels good in your gut. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't bring... Yeah. I have not really brought it up in the past. Mm-hmm. Just because...
I mean,
I'm not going to go through... I'm not going to go through the trouble of walking someone through the process if I'm, like, not actually going to spend time with that person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that makes sense, too. I mean, when I say I bring it up early, I mean more along the lines of, like, it's not the first thing I say to them. It's, you know, it's something I bring up in the first few weeks. You know, it's not something I bring up normally on a first date. Exactly. Unless I'm, like, I'm bolusing under the table, and they see that, and then they ask me. Or, which this has happened more frequently than not, I get, like, a hug, and they just happen to graze my insulin pump, and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, you don't think I have a rock hard bicep? That's weird and offensive. I'm like, oh, it's my insulin pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just... You make it into a joke, and you cope with it, and you move on. And if it's something that... And I've had negative reactions before. Mm-hmm. I literally had a guy... This is horrible, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I legitimately... Tell me more. I had a guy be like... In his defense, we were kind of drunk at this point. He was like, are you going to lose a leg? And I was like, what?
That's just shows you how our education system is flawed, to be honest.
Not today, sir.
Yeah, he's been failed. The education system has failed him. He has failed
himself.
So that was a moment for me where I was like, okay.
Nope. Yeah.
And the thing is, it wasn't even like I brought it up to him. He hit my insulin pump by accident, and he felt it, and he said something. So like I was like, you know, when that happens, I'm not embarrassed.
I went through a phase. You know?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people are, and especially when you have something on you at all times that might help manage the disease better. You know, there's arguments for and against, but it's something that is more apparent, I think, because,
It affects, and obviously dating someone new, you're already self-conscious about a lot of things, and you're already nervous about your body and whatnot. I think that's natural for anyone in a relationship. So the idea that you either have, like, robot parts attached to you or, you know, bruises and things from injections, just regardless, there's always going to – it adds another layer of things to be conscious about.
It's a good reminder. I have a lot of bruises on myself right now. So I need to get the vitamin E oil back out. Thanks,
oh, yeah,
Miriam.
I still have to do that.
Good reminder.
And good tip from Christy to use that vitamin E oil on any scars and bruises.
Unrelated, but...
Yeah. But this is also
unrelated.
It's making me
anyway,
think...
What was our second question, Emily?
Oh, wait, I have one more note about the disclosing, though.
Yes,
it's
please.
It's making me realize, just like talking through these stories, that... It's better, I think, to not put so much pressure on, like, okay, I'm going to disclose this and it's going to be a conversation. It's more like, okay, I feel like every time I've disclosed it, it comes out in passing and like a comment, like, oh yeah, I have diabetes. And then you let it be a process or a journey. So instead of having to talk about it all at once and feeling you need to kind of get this huge thing off your chest, it can be like, oh, okay, I mentioned this. And then maybe a couple minutes later, they might ask a question. Maybe the next day they'll ask a question. So I think maybe if you don't think of it as such a big, scheduled conversation you must have, just let it come naturally. It's a little less pressure.
Right. Yeah, and don't be afraid of questions. Like, honestly, I think it shows that someone's paying attention and they care if they care enough to ask questions.
Exactly. I always love the questions. It shows that they're curious and that they do want to know. And I'm sure you guys get this too. People will, even friends will ask questions. They'll be like, sorry, I'm asking so many questions. And I'm like, no, like, I love it. It's nice to have someone who actually cares enough to even ask. Because I think a lot of people would just be like, okay, you do you.
I mean, I think the first three times Zach like asked questions about it, he followed all three with, "Is that offensive?" And I was like, love it. No, not at all.
I mean, I love it when Rich asks questions and when Rich's friends ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like one of his friends, shout out to Matt, is, you know, becoming a doctor, and he's obviously interested in it, and he's like, "Oh, sorry if, you know, sorry to be asking you about this." And I wanted to be like,
No,
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Like, this is something in my life.
I love talking about this.
Well, no, I love it when people, it's not necessarily that I love talking about it, but I love it when people have questions, mm-hmm. because, you know, doctors aside, the more people we can educate on, you know, the fact that this is not the end of the world, this disease, as much as it sucks, the better. Mm-hmm. You know, the less stigma, if you will, the better. And I think, you know, the more comfortable people will be, and the more comfortable people will be telling others, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe dating with diabetes might not even be a thing one day, you know, like something you need to say.
That's maybe beautiful. It'll,
yeah, just, you know, bringing that back kumbaya to the chair, full circle. Yeah. Okay, so our next message is from RoboGirl on Instagram, aka Rachel. Thanks for writing in. Rachel's story is a little cray, and we're very happy that you're all right. Let me preface by saying that. So she says, first date with her now husband ended up with them in the hospital because she didn't know her pump was leaking and she went into DKA.
Oh, no.
On date number one.
That's
never good, but date number one. Wowee.
Right off the bat, they went full throttle. And she goes, he didn't know much about diabetes and I just thought I needed more insulin, was trying to be cool. He came to visit every day. She was in the ICU for 3 days, guys. And they've been together ever since, now 5 years.
That's beautiful.
How sweet is that?
Great story. So no question in there. It's just like a nice little tidbit. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really presented that just completely falsely.
I had a similar situation actually with my current boyfriend. I was on I was prescribed a medication off label, which they do. A lot of doctors do that. It's a type 2 medication that you can prescribe for type 1s that helps. But the one I was on, and I don't want to say the name because I don't want to turn people off, but one of the side effects is it can more easily put you into DKA.
Oh my gosh.
So I ended up in the hospital. And my boyfriend and I had been official for like 2 months. And my mom always brings a story up. She goes, oh, I can't believe Steven went to the hospital with you. It's just so nice. I love that he did that. But yeah, it's kind of like baptism by fire. It's like if you're going in, let's just get it all done. No one is flattering in the hospital when you feel like shit. So,
description.
It's a nice,
I love
it. Baptism by fire. That might have to be, well, I know Dating with Diabetes is the name of this, but if I ever create a band, that's going to be the name of it.
I don't think I made that phrase up. I think it's pretty common.
I'll take the credit in my eyes.
Anyways, we're glad that RoboGirl slash Rachel is good, and so happy for you and your hubby.
It's actually weirdly cute story.
It's actually really cute, and his name is
Jared. I think
it's
cute to us, to non-diabetics.
Probably like
that probably sounds like some fresh hell, which like I'm sure it was, but also,
I mean, DKA does not sound like a walk in the park regardless. Especially Christy, your introduction to this diabetes world, you know DKA better than
I know. Rachel and I were messaging on Instagram. I was like, oh my god, girl.
I'm like, I'm gonna see myself out. Hashtag blessed. But so her husband's name is Jared, and she said that he's taken a very active role in making sure she's always well with her diabetes.
Go
always having
Jared.
Snacks and spare supplies on hand, and making her a better diabetic and more aware diabetic. And I just think that is so sweet.
Jared's the bomb.
Jared went to Jared to get a ring because he married Rachel. I know. I've been waiting to make that joke since you started telling this story.
Oh my god. Did you just say he went to Jared? Sorry, I blocked out for a second.
Yeah, I said Jared went to Jared's.
Amazing. Amazing. Rachel and Jared, so glad you went to Jared's. Happily ever after, hashtag blessed, and happy for you.
Yes.
Ew, I really hate that joke. I'm actually sorry I made it. Anyway.
I mean, I support it, obviously. Well, so, moving on to I think we only have time for one more. And this one goes out to Ian, who is listening in Boston as well. Maybe Ian and Emily can create a Pancreas Pal meetup out there in Boston. Who knows?
You said Ian and Emily. Did you mean Ian and Christy?
Yes.
No, because there's another remember Emily who wrote in?
Oh, it was Elizabeth.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm really self-involved, so I'm sorry too.
Christy, you can get in on that then.
Yeah, Christy can facilitate.
I've got to. Yeah.
So sorry, Elizabeth. Clearly, I had my name on my mind.
My middle name is Elizabeth. Wow, I am self-involved. Please speak now. This is getting out of control.
We're gonna bring this back. So Ian is in Boston, and Ian actually has, I can't remember the specifics of his story as far, there was some background to it, but he has a story where, and I'm making this very brief, and then I'm going to bring it into his more recent story because I think it's adorable, but he was dating this guy a while back, and he had such a bad low that he was like on the floor, like freaking out, as one does, and his boyfriend at the time had to call his mother, and like, because Ian was like, can you please call my mom, I'm freaking out. So he had to call his mother, and the mom had to walk him through how to like
take care of him.
Yeah, take care of him. Which, I mean, Ian, we've all been there. Yeah. On some level, feel for you, bro. But then also happy for Ian because he has his newest interest. Also, I feel like I should disclose Ian's one of my really good friends. So, shout out to Ian for.
This is very intimate detail.
Yeah, I mean, I got this approved, but sorry if I'm butchering this, Ian. Also, just sorry in general that I'm sharing this, but whatever, you told me I could. So he's now seeing a fellow T1D, and his little lull of the moment was they were like hanging out, and he asked to borrow his Novolog the other day. Like, they're just chilling, and he was like, oh hey, can I borrow some of that insulin?
That's amazing. Also so efficient, because they can literally share supplies,
basically just a giant like fair split.
It's amazing
through life. Yeah,
it's a good match.
We're happy for you, Ian, / I'll text you later.
Also, must be anyway. That happens a lot. T1Ds dating other T1Ds.
It does in JDRF,
right? There's a lot of intermingling. I was always kind of turned off by that. I think it's because I'm such a neurotic that the idea of having to manage my issues as well as someone else's numbers, I was like, that's gonna be too much for me. But
true, I feel that. I mean,
but it's also nice on the other hand, because it's someone who fully understands your experience. So obviously, there's both pros and cons.
True. I would just feel like if I was dating someone who also had like a Dexcom or something,
oh, like,
we'd constantly be beeping. I just feel like we'd constantly be beeping, like
for
no
sure.
one would sleep.
You for sure would be beeping. That was actually my funniest disclosure about my diabetes. Is I was on a date, a first date, many moons ago when I was fun and single. And I was
but
talking
we love
to
you,
this, I guess I'm still fun. I was on a date with this guy, and you know, at the end of the date, we started kissing, and I had my hand on his stomach, and I felt a pump site. And I said, oh my God, do you have diabetes? And his face was so, because that's like a very aggressive thing to say to someone if he didn't know I had diabetes. And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, like, why did I know that? And I said, so do I. And I like pulled my pump out.
That's so cute. I actually, wait, now that I think about it, I dated a diabetic once too.
I completely
forgot.
Yeah. It happens. I think we have this.
I date
weird
losers
magnetism.
In Alston. None of them are diabetic.
I mean, hey.
It's like a magnetism.
When I say dated, I mean very lightly dated. Yeah. And also, like, just, yeah. He was great, though. He worked for, like, a medical supply company and would give me all of these free syringes and
nice.
Stuff.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Don't know the legality of that. Not naming any names, so we all good here.
I don't know
Sorry,
that you wanted
Rich,
to share that
listening.
Quite here, but...
Okay, guys, this has been a fun episode, and I definitely think it's something that we might want to continue, maybe do like a segment on as things progress in our lives and yours.
These conversations go by so fast. It's like sad to be over.
I know. Sorry, fam. We try to keep it in commute length.
That's legit.
You know?
I like
you
that.
You know, so you can download on the go and listen to our amazing voices on that subway or T or Uber share.
I mean, I've been coughing this whole time, but yeah, amazing. I guess, Miriam, you'll just have to come back for part two.
I would love to.
You'll have to tell us all about living with boys.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, after I guess like a week goes by because it's been like 2 days.
A couple months, we'll see. Yeah,
we'll check in.
We'll check in down the road.
Periodic.
Be sure to continue following us on Instagram at pancreas_pals, on Facebook we're Pancreas Pals as per usual, and also just like want to give a special another thank you to Miriam for taking time out of her busy moving in schedule sit down and give us that mental health expert.
Oh my gosh, of course,
tease.
This was so much fun.
Go team. Misty Christie. All the way in Boston.
I'm still here.
Okay, well, thanks for tuning in, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.